I normally give this class on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, but there is no shir this year on the night of Hoshana Rabbah because it's Motzei Shabbos and people are coming from different places. So I've been asked to give the shir now, which feels a bit funny because the shir is all about the transition from Sukkot into Shmini Atzeres. And we're not even in Sukkot yet. So you'll have to just imagine, there'll have to be a little bit of kind of imagination going on here, that you feel that we're already sitting in the sukkah and we're now trying to think about what's going to be from sukkahs into Shmini Atzeres. Have you had it? What have you had so far this morning? I'm the first shir. Have you had any shir about sukkahs at all? Fine. So in for now we'll have to just skip sukkahs if you like. There's a little bit about Sukkot here, but it's mostly about Shmini Atzeres. Now, I don't know what you guys know about Shmini Atzeres. You probably feel it's like the last day of Sukkot or something like that. Of course, in Chutz La'aretz, you get 2 days of Shmini Atzeres. How so? You get the 8th day, which is Shmini Atzeres, and you get, of course, 2nd day Yontef, which is Simchas Torah. And in Chutz La'aretz, they split them. So the Shmini Atzeres, which is just Shmini Atzeres, and you do all the things you do on Shmini Atzeres. In Chutz La'aretz, you still sit in the Sukkah, although here you don't. And you do Tfilat Geshem, etc., etc. And then Simchas Torah is the next day, when you have all the dancing and the singing and all the Simchas Torah stuff. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have 2 days Yontzef. Even if you keep 2 days Yontzef in Israel, you still don't get 2 days of Shmini Atzeres. The second day is just like you keeping the second day, as it were. In Israel, everything is combined into one day. Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah is all one day. What's that? Okay, your schedules can say whatever they like. But you go try and find, unless you find some chutznik celebration of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah rather than the second day, which you may do, there may be them some around. At the end of the day, what you're going to find is that Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah is all here on the same day. Which is confusing, because Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah seem to have different feels. Shmini Atzeres is quite serious. There's the tefillah for Geshem. Geshem is a serious business in this country. There's a difference between life and death. If it doesn't rain by the end of November, people start to get very antsy and itchy, and there are special tefillahs that go into the Shmona Esrei, etc., etc. Rain for us is very serious. And also we say Yiska on Shmini Atzeres. How do you combine that with Simchas Torah? How do you make that part of the same day without being kind of schizophrenic and feeling that you're, well, am I meant to be serious? Am I meant to be sad? What am I meant to be happy? What am I meant to be? All these things are coming together. So I want to give you a bunch of sources here on Shmini Atzeres, so you can help to put together a picture of what Shmini Atzeres is really about. And hopefully then when you hit Simchas Torah in about 3 weeks, no, 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks, when you hit Simchas Torah, then at least you'll have an understanding of what you're meant to be feeling on the day and how the day combines. Now, what do we know about, what does the word Shmini Atzeres mean? Literally. Shmini? Eight. Atzeret? Hold back, stop, atzor means stop, it's a sign, okay? Although in almost every country in the world, the stop signs on the road all have the word stop on them, which is an interesting observation. Yeah. Yes, it's interesting. You can go to anywhere you like in the world, they all say S-T-O-P. Seems to be an international thing. Yeah, but they like the word stop. Anyway, that's beside the point. Atzeret means stop. Please, Avigal, come and take a seat. Take a sheet, take a seat. Okay? Now, have a look at some sources. I'm going to do this quite quickly, guys. There are 30 sources on this Daf Makoros. We're not going to look at them all, but we are going to look at the first 24 in depth, and there's an appendix at the end. You can have a look at the appendix at the end if you have extra time, and I'll just bring it to your attention at the end what else is on the appendix. Let's see what it says about Shmini Atzeres in the Psukim. Number one, first of all, a posik in Parshas Emor. Shivas Yamim Takrivu Isha Lashem. 7 days you have to bring special korbanos for Hashem. So second day is of course 7 days referring to Sukkot. B'yom Hashmini, on the 8th day, Mikra Kodesh, it is a special holiday. Yihi Elochem, v'hikravtem ishel Hashem, there's a special korban to bring on that day. Atzeres hi, it is a day to stop. Okay? It's a day to stop. So the things that I've highlighted in that particular posik are the ideas of Shmini, girls. If you want to have a conversation, just pop outside and have a conversation. You can't have a conversation across the room. I can see everything you're doing. People think that I'm looking at you, but I can't see you. True, not true. I can. Okay. The two things it highlights here is Shmini, the 8th, and Atzeres, stop. That's what the Pesukim highlight. It's the 8th day. It's a day to stop. Stop from what? We're not sure yet. Number two, later on in Parshas Pinchas, we see, B'yom HaShmini Atzeres. On the Shmini Atzeres, so it's a Yontif, you're not allowed to do malacha, all the malacha you're not allowed to do on Yontif. he's not allowed in Shmini Atzeret. It is a separate, full-blown Yontzev all in of itself. It's not just the eighth day of Sukkot. It is a separate Yontzev Shmini Atzeret. Again, the word eight and the word stop. We'll put these together soon. The other thing we see in the Sukkim about Shmini Atzeret is its special din of Simcha. Have a look at number three, very famous posik. V'samachta b'chagecha, that dreadful song that everybody sings constantly all the way through Sukkot. Like a more miserable tune I can hardly imagine for such a happy song. So, you know, they try to make it a little bit. So we have to come up with our task is to come up with a happier song for V'samachta b'chagecha. But of course it's a posik. You'll be happy on your chag, says the posik. All of your family and all of your household, all the people who are disadvantaged, you have to make all them happy. Shivas yamim tachoig l'Hashem, for 7 days you'll have this special chag for God, in the place that God chooses. The word Yerushalayim is never explicitly mentioned in the Chumash. It just says the place that God chooses. Kibracha Hashem elokecha b'chol tzvuascha, when God blesses all your crops, b'chol ma'aseh yadecha, and all that you do, v'hayisa ach sameach. V'hayisa ach sameach is the end of that posik. So the posik starts v'samachta b'chagecha, and it ends v'hayisa ach sameach. Says the Gemara, all this is very famous. Number four, Hahalel v'hasimcha, says the Gemara. The din of Halel and the din of Simcha, Shmoina, is for all 8 days. Ketzad, how does that work? Malamet shechayiv adam b'halel b'simcha u'b'kovid yontzev ha'achron. It teaches you that you have to keep special dinim of yontzev, halel, simcha, and kovid on the last day of yontzev, shel chag, k'shah kol yimos ha'chag, just like the rest of chag. Says the Gemara, minani mili, how do I know this? How do I know that the last day of chag has a special status? Because it says v'ha'isa asameach l'rabbos leli yontzev ha'achron. This includes Shmini Atzeres. V'ha'isa asameach. So when you sing that song, hopefully with a nicer tune, and you sing v'samachta b'chagecha, that's talking about Sukkot. V'ha'isa asameach is talking about Shmini Atzeres. Now, what does ach sameach mean? V'ha'isa ach sameach.
Just.
You will be just happy. Does that mean it's more or it's less happy? It's the same amount. Just the same? So why does it have to add in the word ach if it's just the same?
Sounds like less.
You'll be only happy. You'll be less happy than you were on Sukkot.
But you're happier.
But she wants to see you sounds like more. In other words, you could read it both ways. The Haita ach sameach, you could read it. What's your name? Esther wants to read it. The Haita ach sameach, you will only be happy. You will be the happiest you've ever been. And that indeed tends to be how they read it. V'ha'isa ach sameach is a day of intense simcha. So there's only three things we know about Shmini Atzeres so far. Eight, stop, and be really happy. We haven't put those together yet, but that's what the psukim say about Shmini Atzeres. Whenever you think you know something about something, always check that that's what the sources say. The fact that you heard something, remember something, half remember, everything has to be seen from an original, somehow or other. And again, so just putting it together gradually, you have to see here the psukim talk about eight, stop, and being really happy. Now, which is the day of the Jewish year which is Rosh Hashanah? Which day of the Jewish year? There are four Rosh Hashanah, says the Mishnah. Different Rosh Hashanahs of different types. When is the beginning of the Jewish year? Aleph Tishrei, it seems. However, if you look in the psukim, it seems very, very likely that Shmini Atzeres is actually the real Rosh Hashanah. It seems very likely that Shmini Atzeres is not just the real Rosh Hashanah, but there's a whole period from Rosh Hashanah to Shmini Atzeres, which is Rosh Hashanah. Have a look here. Look at the bottom of the page. I know korbanos sometimes make people feel a little bit kind of tired, but if you look at them like this, it gets a little bit easier. There's a standard korban that you bring on a chag. Okay? There are three chagim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. The standard korban you bring on a chag is two bulls, one ram, and seven sheep. Okay? So on Pesach, two bulls, one ram, seven sheep. Shavuot, two bulls, one ram, and seven sheep. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one bull, one ram, and seven sheep. It's a different korban. It doesn't have a chag korban. There's one bull missing. Sukkot, look at Sukkot. You bring three bulls, two rams, and 14 sheep per day, plus a bunch of extra stuff. So let me ask you a question. What do you immediately see? What? a lot. This is just for not. It's not every individual. This is just for the nation. Now listen, guys. This is just one offering in the Beit HaMikdash. When you look at Sukkot, what do you immediately notice? 3:2:14. What is the relation between Sukkot and the other Chagim? It's not just double and a bit. You see that Sukkot is a normal Chag offering plus a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur offering. You see, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have a special 1:1:7. A Chag is 2:1:7. You put those together and you get a 3:2:14. Nachon? You understand what I'm talking about? You see that, guys? It's not complicated. It's basic math. You add the korbanos for a chag to the korbanos for a yom and nerayim, and you end up the korbanos for Sukkot. What does that tell you about Sukkot? Sukkot is a chag or Sukkot is yom and nerayim?
It's both.
You see that clearly from the korbanos. Sukkot is not just part of the cycle of the chagim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. It is also part of the cycle of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It's part of a cycle of yom and nerayim. When you hit Shmini Atzeres, what happens to the korban? To a Yomim Naraim korban. It's not a Chag korban. It's a Yomim Naraim korban. The korbanists themselves are trying to tell you that there's a connection between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and a special connection with Shmini Atzeres. It's evident from the korbanists. Sometimes when you just read them in the Pesukim, you don't always notice the pattern, but when you look at the numbers, you see very clearly. Flip over to page 2. There are a number of psukim. I haven't read anything but psukim in the Torah so far. The psukim in the Torah indicate that Shmini Atzeres is the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. Have a look at number 5. Chag Ha'asif, the festival of ingathering, okay, which is Sukkot. Betzeit Hashanah. What does Betzeit Hashanah mean? At the end of the year. Now, let me ask you girls, is Sukkot at the end of the year or the beginning of the year? The middle, it can't possibly be. Oh, okay, we start in Nisan. But the year, the month starts in Nisan, but the year always starts in Tishrei. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. You're being too sophisticated. So let's look, guys, when you read the Pasuk, but Seif HaShana, that Sukkot is at the end of the year, shouldn't you think that's not right? Sukkot is not at the end of the year. Sukkot is at the beginning of the year. So why does the Pasuk say Sukkot is at the end of the year? Look at number 6. The Chag HaAsif, the festival of Sukkot, elsewhere it calls it, Tekufat HaShana, at the turning point of the year. Okay, you can give Sukkot the turning point of the year. Maybe that means it's like at the beginning of the year. But here in number 7, the mitzvah of Hakel, what's Hakel? How often do they do that? Every 7 years. When? Sukkot of the year after Shemitah. Sukkot of the 8th year. Have a look at what it says about Hakel. Beitzav Moshe Otam Lemor, and Moshe commanded them, saying, Miketz Sheva Shanim, at the end of 7 years, B'moyed Shnat HaShemitah B'chag HaSukkot, on the special, this festival, etc., you have to have Hakel. It's at the end of 7 years. It doesn't say at the beginning of the 8th year, it says at the end of 7 years. It sounds very much like Shmini Atzeres is kind of the beginning of the year. Sukkot is the end of the year. Shmini Atzeres is the point at which the year flips and the new year really starts. And what I want to try and show you is this whole period, really, between Rosh Hashanah and Shmini Atzeret is almost like a holding period. And the year really only starts on Shmini Atzeret, and we'll see all of the different ideas of Shmini Atzeret that come in there. Yes,
if
Rachel.
Because
Sukkot is the last day of Sukkot is the end of the old year, and in this kind of...
Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, and then supposedly it continues to Shmini Atzeret, but
Sukkot
is the end of the year.
It's like... The old and the new, Rosh Hashanah, Shmini Atzeres. You have this period in between Rosh Hashanah and Shmini Atzeres, which is the end of the old year, the beginning of the new year, but Shmini Atzeres is really only from that point onwards that you can really say that you're really in the new year. Everything else is just holding. Yes? Well, if Sukkot is the end, what's the last day of Sukkot? It's the day before Shmini Atzeres. Good. Then would you call Sukkot the end if Hanukkah was the beginning? Then what's the period in between? You're right. It doesn't say explicitly and conclusively, but it gives you an indication that Sukkot is somehow the end of something. Sukkot is the end of something. Well, if I told you that the last day of Sukkot is the last day of the year, the end of the year, When would you tell me you thought the first day of the next year was? Hanukkah? Probably not. You'll see with the rest of the sources where what we're driving at. Yeah. It's exactly this idea. Hoshana Rabbah being your last chance comes from this same idea on a Kabbalistic level that we're still in some kind of a holding zone, and this whole period from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah, which is that Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot. According to the East, it's the last day of the year. Because Shmini Atzeret, that's it, you're off. I'm just saying it this way. I'm only bringing you Pesukim. I'm not bringing you any of my own interpretations. Yes. First of all, it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah is clearly the new year. In the Pesukim in the Torah, it doesn't say anything about Rosh Hashanah being the new year. Rosh Hashanah, it just says, is a holiday. It's a chag. Actually called it Mikra Kodesh. It's a special festival. It's clear from the Pesukim. It's associated with a Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah, what does Teruah mean? What does Teruah mean? Could mean different things. Crying out. You said crying out? It means crying out. It's a day of crying out. That's what the Pesukim talk about Rosh Hashanah. We understand Teruah to mean blowing the shofar as well. From Chazal, from Torah Shabbal Peh, we understand that Rosh Hashanah is also the Jewish year. But one of a number of Jewish New Year, rather. One of a number of Jewish New Years. You're saying everyone always assumes that Rosh Hashanah is the New Year. So I'm trying to expand your horizons and teach you some new stuff. If I just taught you everything you already knew, then it would be boring at seminary, right?
The one in, limbo.
Yeah, that's called tshuva. Last chance, coming up, yes. So the last chance is Pashtus Yom Kippur. Okay, but it's well known that the idea that even though the din is written, there's a Kabbalistic idea, even though the din is written on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur, the judgment's only delivered on Hoshana Rabbah, if you like. There's still the hang. I want to carry on. Yes. Last year. The 10 days up to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur were on last year's Teshuva. From Yom Kippur to Hoshana Rabbah, I'm not sure. If someone dies in 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so that's on last year's Cheshbon. That's for sure. Now, let's carry on because we can talk about this. Now, therefore, guys, I just want to summarize where we are up to now. Shmini Atzeret, 8, Sof, Simcha, New Year. Okay, let's have a look in Nevi'im. What happens in the Nevi'im on Shmini Atzeret? I want to take you on a little tour through some of the Nevi'im. Look at number 9. We are in the middle right now of a period of time which was the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. Have a look at number 9. V'yash Shlomo, speaking from Malachim Aleph. V'yash Shlomo be'et ahi es achag. Shlomo made a festival. V'kol Yisrael amo, with all the Jewish people. Kahal gadol. From the very top to the very bottom of Israel, they all came together. Shivat Yamim, v'shivat Yamim. 7 days plus 7 days. Arba asa yom. 14 days in total. There were 14 days of celebration when they entered, when they inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash. B'yom hashmini, and on the 8th day, shilach es ha'am. He sent home the people. V'varchu et ha'melech. And they blessed the king, vayelchu le'ohaleihem, and they went home to their houses. Semechim, happy. Tove leiv, content. Al kol ha'tove asher asa Hashem le'David avdoi li'Yisrael amon. The 8th day, says Shlomo HaMelech, was the day that they sent them all home. Again, 2 periods of 7 days, 7 days and 7 days, that's 14 in total. And on the 8th, the last day, and you will be surprised to see, it says in Divrei Hayamim, when he talks about the 8th day, Divrei Hayamim, of course, a parallel to the Sefer Malachim, he calls it actually Hashmini Atzeret. This day was Shmini Atzeret. So in Nevi'im, Shmini Atzeret is very much associated with this idea of, this is the end of the big chag. By the way, that big chag at the time of that 14-day celebration when they built the Beit HaMikdash included Yom Kippur, and they didn't fast that year. They cancelled the fast for the entire Jewish people that year. I will give Shlomo HaMelech the authority to cancel a fast that the Torah says you have to keep. That's another discussion, which is not for now. But they cancelled the fast that day. And therefore this 14-day mega, mega, mega chag came to an end on Shmini Atzeret. And Shmini Atzeret was the day when they all went home. So the idea of Shmini Atzeret, you see from Nevi'im, is an idea of going home. Have a look here on number 12. Well, now we're going to get into Chazal. Famous Chazals you'll have heard before, but hopefully you'll be able to put them into a little bit of context. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Hani Shivim Parim Kenegid Mi. You've heard this all before, I'm sure, nothing new here. 70 cows on Sukkot, what do they correspond to? The 70 nations. This is all very standard Torah. Kenegid Shivim Umois, they are representative of the 70 nations. Par Yechidi Lama, and the last one cow. We bring 70 cows on Sukkot altogether. If you add them up, the extra offerings, 14 plus 13 plus 12, blah, 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 no, 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7. Okay? The one little cow that we bring on the very last day, what does that correspond to? Keneged Uma Yechidi. Yechida. Corresponds to the one nation of the Jewish people. Moshal. There's a parable. Lemelech Basar Adam, Sha'amala Avadav. The king says to his servants, Asuli Suda Gedoyla. Okay, make me a big feast for the whole country. Liyom Acharon, on the last day, Amaloyavo, he said to his treasured friend, Aseli Suda Katanim, make me a little feast, Kadesha Ahani Mimepo, so that we can hang out together. This is well known Torah on Shmini Atzeres. The idea that Shmini Atzeres, after the grandeur of Sukkot, and the pomp, and the circumstances, and the circumstance, and all of the korbanos for the nations of the world, there's just one little korban, one little chag for one special relationship between God and the Jewish people. You've all heard this before, right? This idea of God saying to the Jewish people, stay one more day, just stay another day. Look at 13. B'yom HaShmini, Ma ra liyois poiches kol yom. Why did the korbanos go down every day? Lamdecha ha-Toyra derech eretz min ha-korbanos. The Torah is teaching you derech eretz from the korbanos. If you go to a hotel, you go to stay with people, v'kablu chaveira, and they and your friends will greet you, yom rishon v'kablu yafa. The first day, they give you the red carpet treatment. U'machila oifas, and they give you birds. I don't know exactly what kind of bird he's talking about, maybe like pheasant, or geese, or swan, or things like that. In England, of course, swan can only be eaten by the queen. You're not allowed to hunt swan in England unless you're the queen. Okay. She owns all the swans. Shh. Why would you want? I think she owns all the swans. Yep. Danielle, you don't mess with the queen. Off with her head, you know. Off with her head. Let's go. Shh. Oh, so listen. Guys, all you want to talk about is the royal family. I've been talking about Sukkot for the last 15 minutes. No one had anything to say. Now the queen, oh yeah, everyone's talking about the queen. So Rachel is saying, what does it mean they're going down and down? So the first day when you go to visit somebody, we give you the red carpet treatment and everything's beautiful and it's very formal. Base on the second day, ma'achilu basa, they give you something like a bit lower, meat. But shvishi ma'achilu dagim, on the third day they give you fish. But ravii, on the fourth day, ma'achilu yerek, they give you vegetable salad. Until at the end they give you kidneys. Kidneys, what are kidneys? Literally, what does it mean? What does it mean, kidneys? Smalls, it means small. That means something different in England. But anyway, that's a separate question. But kidneys means small. Means like this. Listen to what the Medrash is saying. If you go to someone for hospitality, and on the first day they're giving you the full formal treatment, and by the end of your trip they're still treating you the same way, and that's already not nice. Because you're meant to feel comfortable with people. When I first treat you, get you in the house, I give you the red carpet treatment. After a few days, what am I telling you? Come on, guys. My home is your home. This is the fleshy side. This is the milky side. You want to mix up a scrambled egg? Here are the mugs. Here's the coffee. Do what you like. If I'm still treating you like, you know, the queen on the fifth day, already you don't feel comfortable anymore. This is how human beings are. You want to relax at a certain point. You can't live your life constantly as though you're in the royal banquet. Says Hashem to the Jewish people, 7 days of Sukkot, that's beautiful. On the eighth day, there's something a little bit intimate, just something a little bit small, a scrambled egg between us, you know, whatever it is, a small korban. It's this idea of intimacy. Intimacy is a very important theme of Shmini Atzeres. And we're going to talk about Simcha in a minute, and the intimacy of Simcha. And this idea of, and we're going to draw all these ideas together. Yes. Who says I care less about you? I don't care less about you.
Yeah, you're giving me a piece of rice by the end.
No, I'm not giving you a piece of rice. You know what I'm saying, guys.
No, I don't, because I'm saying, you're saying it should be, like, we're comfortable, but why shouldn't we treat it like,
Let me ask you a question. Is that the way, if you stay with people that you like and you want to feel at home with, is that the way you want to feel treated by people, or you want to feel at home? Guys, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that you should make scrambled eggs on Shemini Atzeres. It's a chag and you should have a yontif meal. I'm saying that the moshel is... No, we're treating it that there's a day of closeness with Hashem, and that closeness on a certain level demands less formality. How can you get close to people if you remain formal? Let me ask you a question. There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. We're going to get to Avas Hashem soon. How do you love somebody? Can you love somebody deeply and intimately if you're formal with them? You know that you can't... No, please is one thing. But can you sit there with your husband after 15 years of marriage, still treating each other like you treated each other on the first shidduch that you ever went on? You sit here, he sits there, you listen, he talks about himself and you get bored. No, I didn't mean that. There has to be an informality. We're always sitting there with our tie. You think all the rabbis in the world sit there in the house with their suits and ties and black hats on, with sitting there next to their wives going, "Hello, dear." You know, it's like there's a point in life when you've got to just kind of chill out and relax. No? Isn't that normal? Chazal's teaching us that lesson. Obviously, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a dichotomy, because on the one hand, you want to be close and intimate. On the other hand, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't just pretend it's like a friend.
So
living with that dichotomy is part of the challenge of Ahava and Yira, which we'll get to. And that's part of Simchas Torah. We'll see how it comes together. Now, one last little source on number 14 before we talk about Simcha. A very interesting idea about Shemini Atzeres. Why do we sit in the sukkah for 7 days? So the source says here, Amar Rebbe Eliezer Bar Moris, Lama Anu Oisin Sukkah, Acha Yom Kippurim. Why do we make a sukkah? You see in Har Nof, you heard last night people drilling and banging till the early hours of the morning. No, why do we run out to the sukkah after Yom Kippur to make sukkahs? Lo Melacha Shekein Ata Motzi B'Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah we find Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bidin, God sits in judgment, Al Boi Olam, on all the people in the world, Jews and non-Jews. Yom Kippurim, Hu Chosem Es Adin. On Yom Kippur he feels the judgment. Shema Yatz Adin Anshel Yisrael Legolas. Maybe, God forbid, we had a din that we have to go to exile. Maybe we have to leave our homes. Al Yidei Kein Oisem Sukkah. That's why we make a sukkah. V'goylim Mibateihim the sukkah. We exile ourselves from our homes into the sukkah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mali Aleim Ki'ilu Galul Babel. And it's as if we went into the diaspora. Very interesting medrash. Sitting in the sukkah is like a self-imposed exile. We're taking ourselves out of the house. It's almost like a kind of, not a punishment, but it feels like what's more comfortable? Being in the house with all your home comforts, or sitting in the sukkah when it's cold and it's rainy, etc., etc., maybe it's windy, it's hot. The sukkah is by definition a slightly uncomfortable place. It's meant to feel like you're at home there, but it by definition, come on, which is more comfortable to you? Your house, your bedroom, or your sukkah? Correct, but sometimes that feels a little bit uncomfortable. When you actually come back in the house on Shemini Atzeres, there's this feeling of coming back in the house. That, on the one hand, it's a shame, we have to leave the sukkah, we're leaving a mitzvah. On the other hand, isn't that a nice feeling? When you kind of pack up the stuff and you get back in your normal bed, and you're back in your air conditioning, or back in your central heating. You go live in, I don't know, Alaska, and sit in a sukkah for 8 days in October, and see how it feels. Yeah? You go live in Montreal, and you shovel the snow off your schach, you know, before you sit in the sukkah. Right? When you go back in the house, the medrash is telling us it's meant to feel like a homecoming feeling. That itself is a simcha. And now you understand why Shlomo HaMelech sent the people home on Shemini Atzeres. It's the same idea, this homecoming, this coming in. Now, we have a minhag today that we read the Torah, yeah? Who knows what the din was that Gemara is saying? Who knows what the din was on Yom Kippur? Maybe the din was, we want to take on ourselves almost a kind of self-imposed exile. Who he was? Maybe there's a kind of mesiras nefesh. This idea of, I'm taking myself out of my comfort zone voluntarily. What's that? We want to be happy. Because happiness and comfort are not necessarily the same thing. It does help a little bit. Which is one of the reasons, by the way, why on Sukkot, the minute you feel unhappy in the Sukkot, uncomfortable in the Sukkot, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkot. It's a very interesting mitzvah. When do we ever feel in a mitzvah that if it's uncomfortable to do the mitzvah, you're exempt? We never heard that. You know, it's uncomfortable to bench right now because I'm tired. Oh, I'm exempt from benching because it's uncomfortable. No. With the Sukkah, uniquely, we feel because there's a din of Chag, because of the din of Simchas Yontov, and sitting in the Sukkah can be uncomfortable. It could be raining in, it could be sunny in. There's a din of Mitzdar Potem in the Sukkah. You go back in the house. There is this element that the Sukkah is slightly outside our comfort zone. And sometimes we have to bring ourselves back in the house. That final Simcha of coming home is Shmini Atzeres. That's what I'm trying to bring out here. That's what Chazal are bringing out on Shmini Atzeres. It's this final ending, this coming home, this feeling of, okay, now's the beginning of the rest of my life. That's the Shmini Atzeres feeling that all these sources are trying to get you to feel. Yes. A bit louder, because I've got this fan in my ear. Absolutely. Yeah, you have to go out of your comfort zone. If you go to the gym, and all you ever do is lift the weights that you're able to lift, like, you know, there's no purpose in that. There's just no, you're wasting your subscription money to the gym. You've got to be lifting weights, you know, no pain, no gain. It's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. It's the same as true in mitzvahs. But there's still this nice feeling when you get back into this nice warm bed. Yes. Why? We're saying we want to take this on ourselves. Is it like a mini kind of version of this? Yes, no. So that the way it's worded, that if we had a din that we have to go into Golos, we're saying to Hashem, at least this should be enough. This should be sufficient that we've fulfilled the din that you have for us. We don't need to go live in Monsey. We can just live in our Sukkah in Yerushalayim. Correct. Yeah, what do you mean? To a certain degree, we put ourselves out of our comfort zone and be in
a
nafshu seichem.
No, like if there's a din that we have to, like,
yes.
And then by the time we have to finish it, we get there, like,
I said this was someone asked over there. Yom Kippur is not really the final end of the story. This whole thing is part of the Yamin Aram. You saw the Korban for Shmini Atzeres, the Yamin Aram Korban. It's only over. You know what they say? It's not over until the fat lady sings. Okay. Well, in our religion, the fat lady sings on Shmini Atzeres. Okay. But not when any men are listening. Okay. Listen. The minhag. Finish reading the Sefer Torah on Shmini Atzeres and to start again on Shmini Atzeres is a relatively recent one. There used to be two minhagim of how they read the Torah. One was they read over 3 years, 3.5 years, and one was they read over 1 year. The universal minhag, and I brought a couple of sources, I'm not going to go through them, in 15 and 16, I brought you the Rambam there, and I brought you Benjamin of Tudela, who went touring and he saw these minhagim. Now the universal minhag across the world is that we read and finish the Torah on Simchas Torah. Why? Why do we choose the day of Shmini Atzeres to be the day on which we finish and celebrate with the Torah? Why do we choose that day? We could do it on Shavuos. Isn't that more sensible? Like the day the Torah was given? Let's finish the Torah on Shavuot. Let's finish the Torah on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. Why do we choose Shmini Atzeres, Simcha Torah, as the day to finish the Torah? Yeah. Oh, so let's talk about relationship now. Let's talk about Simcha and relationship in the last 15 minutes. Because there's some very important points about Simcha, about intimacy and relationship with God that I need to bring out here. Have a look at number 17. Number 17 is a long source, and I'm not going to read the whole of it, but the first part of it is the same idea as we saw before. It repeats this idea that God celebrates, like, with the whole world on Sukkot, and on Shmini Atzeres, he just wants his private relationship with the Jewish people. So have a look, pick it up, please, at the bottom of 17. 1, 2, 3, 4... four lines up from the bottom, and it says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael in bold. You with me, guys? You with me? You see? So source number 17 helps if you look at the right source. 17, four lines up from the bottom. Now follow with me. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So God says to the Jewish people, says this Medrash, Achshav, now, this is Shmini Atzeres, Aniva Atem Nismach Yachad. Let's just have this private celebration together, like I said before, this intimate final day. I'm not going to make you do much. You don't have to make a whole banquet. Just a scrambled egg's fine. But just one cow, one ram, it's fine. The Kaven, now this is new now. The Kaven Shishamu Yisrael Kach. When the Jewish people hear this news of this beautiful intimate moment, this final moment, Hitchilu Makalsim LaKadosh Baruch Hu, we begin to praise Hashem and we sing the Pasuk, Ze Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Bo. You've come across that Pasuk, it's in Tehillim, we say it in Hallel. Now what does that mean, guys? Ze Hayom Asa Hashem, translate please, Ze Hayom Asa Hashem. Right, that's easy. Nagila, we will be happy. V'Nismacha, and we will be happy. The Jewish religion has a lot of words for happiness, right? It's like the Eskimos have a lot of words for snow. It's whatever, every language has a lot of words for the things that it's most interested in making subtle differences between. So think about it. The Jewish language has so many words for happiness. Gila, Ditsa, Rina, Chedva, Sason, Simcha, okay? So we celebrate V'Nismacha Vo. What does that mean? Nagila V'Nismacha Vo. In what? In the day. How do you know it means the day? Because Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Vo. But what else could it mean? Who said that? How do you know? Right. Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Vo. Which is the Vo? We were going to be happy with God, or we're going to be happy with the day? Could really both. Now, have a look at what the Medrash goes on to say. I'm a Rebbe Yavin, ain't Anu Yoidin, we can't tell from this Pasuk in Tehillim, in Hallel. The Malis Mayach, what are we meant to be happy in? In Beyom, is it the day? In Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu, or is it God, which is the object? Bashlomo comes along in Shir HaShirim, and Shir HaShirim, guys, is what? Shir HaShirim is a love story of the love between God and the Jewish people. Peirush, he explains it, and there's a parallel Pasuk, what does it say there? Nagila V'Nismacha Bach. Nagila V'Nismacha Bach. We will take delight and we will be happy in you. Now it's clear. Nagila V'Nismacha Bo is not on the day. It's not that we're going to be happy. Zeha Yom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Bo. We're going to be happy on the day. So we're going to be happy with God. And the Medrash finishes and says, Bach B'Toratach. In you means in your Torah. Bach Mishuatach, in your salvation. And number Rabbi Yitzchak, Bach means Be'etzim Shtei Me'oisi Yashak, Sav Talanu B'Torah Tzercho. Tari Agit. What's that? You know, sometimes when things are subtle, it makes you have to look out harder to make work them out. You can just as easily have to ask a question about Shakespeare. You know, when Shakespeare writes a sonnet, why didn't he just say it straight? Why is he talking in riddles? Why is he saying, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Like, just get to the point. You like this woman, just say, I love you, finish, let's get married, whatever it is. The answer is no. The point is, subtlety is everything. And Torah is called a Shira. And what is a Shira? Shira is a poet. No, on the contrary. By being subtle, you're doing the opposite of what you were. You're making every word matter. Don't read the Torah like you read the New York Times. The Torah is subtle and deep and nuanced and sophisticated. Okay? And therefore every word has to be thought about and again and again and again and again. That's how intelligent writing is written. Not like bad novels. The reason you shouldn't read bad novels is not just because they're bad novels. It's because it kind of desensitizes you as to how good novels are written. I'm not saying it's awesome to read a bad novel. I'm just saying it just makes you kind of lazy because you read like, you know, whatever, it's rubbish. But if you read good writing, then it sensitizes. Now the point here is like this. We will take delight in you, Chazal say, Bach B'Torah Tach, in your Torah, in your salvation, in your alphabet. We're not going to have time to get into what all of those different things mean. Why is connecting with God, connecting with his salvation and with the alphabet? If you want to look in the appendix afterwards, you look in the appendix afterwards. But for now, I just want to focus on the issue of the Torah. Because this idea of Simcha, of connecting with God and with Torah, is very critical. Let's have a look at Simcha for a couple of minutes. Turn over to page 4. And at the end, I want to draw all these strands together. Now have a look at this. What is Simcha? What does it mean to be happy? Okay, this is a very big point, because the whole mitzvahs of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres is V'samachta b'chagecha v'ayita asamech, etc. We have to understand what that means. Have a look at number 18. This is the Sefer Charedim. the Sefer Haredim wasn't written by someone Haredi. Okay? The Sefer Haredim was written a few hundred years ago before anyone thought of the name Haredi. Okay? Haredim just meant God-fearing, etc. Literally, it means shaking. Yeah? It's like the Quakers. You know the Quakers? The Quakers translated directly into Hebrew are the Haredim. Okay? Okay? Fine. Thank you very much. Have a look at number 18. Says the Sefer Haredim, She'ika Shchar Mitzvah Al HaSimcha. Ooh, this is a very interesting point. This, and by the way, guys, this is not some kind of happy clappy, you know, Chabakuki. You know, I'm talking about like Nachlaoti kind of, hey guys, let's just be happy with the Mitzvah. This is like real source. Ika Shchar Mitzvah Al HaSimcha. The reward you get for a Mitzvah is the Simcha that you perform the Mitzvah with. The Eina Simcha Prognosif for Mitzvah. It's not like the Simcha is like an extra level of the Mitzvah. It's not like, well, I did the Mitzvah without Simcha, okay, I did the Mitzvah. I did the Mitzvah with Simcha, oh, now I get Mitzvah plus. No, says Sefer Haredim. You did the Mitzvah without the Simcha, you didn't do the Mitzvah. You just didn't do the Mitzvah. The Simcha is the reward itself for the Mitzvah. That's what the Mitzvah is, the Simcha of doing it. Look at the Rambam in Hilchas Lulav. In Hilchas Lulav, he says a very, in Sukkah, it says a beautiful thing. Look at number 19. HaSimcha. Sheyismach Adam ba'asiyas mitzvah. When a person does simcha, has simcha when they do a mitzvah, ba'ahavat hakel, and when they love God, shetziva b'hem, the God that commanded them to do the mitzvah, avoida gedoylehi. This simcha is a big avoida. This is the Rambam talking. The Rambam, the ultimate Mr. Intellectual Philosopher. Okay, the Rambam is not the one you'd expect to be davening in the Karl Bach minion. Okay. And yet the Rambam maybe takes you by surprise a little bit, because he says to you that the simcha of the mitzvah is a great avoider. The kol ha-moinea atzmoi mitsimcha. If you hold yourself back from having simcha, ra'oi lehi para mimenu, you deserve to be punished, says the Rambam, and he brings a posuk. He says, tachas asher lo yavartes Hashem elokecha b'simcha u'betuv leivav. That posuk is in the Tilchacha. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, the Tochacha in Dvarim is really horrible. It's all about the most dreadful, awful things that could ever happen to the Jewish people, and which did happen to the Jewish people, and they eat their own babies, and they kill with plagues. And it doesn't say anywhere why this is happening to us, except one pasuk says, this is happening because you didn't do the mitzvahs with Simcha. That's why it's happening. Not because you didn't keep Shabbos, not because you didn't eat kosher. You did all those things. You didn't do it with Simcha, says the Rambam. That's the ikar of the mitzvah. And if you don't have the simcha, you don't have the mitzvah. Sukkos, one second, and Shmini Atzeres particularly, is teaching us this intense level of simcha, which means somehow developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is meaningful and intimate. It's a very difficult thing to do. How can you love Hashem? There's a mitzvah to love Hashem. What does it mean with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your life? This is an incredibly intense simcha. How do you get to have this level of emotional connection with a being that you can't touch, that you can't see, that you can't... What can you do? How can you do that? So there are various different ways that the Mephoshim talk about. One of the main ways that you do that is through Torah. In fact, it's in the Psukim. Chazal bring this out, just one second, Jody. After it says, I have to love God. How do I do that? Next verse. These words that I'm commanding you must be on your mind. Think, learn, Torah. One of the most important reasons we learn Torah is to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, girls, there's no shaila at all. That mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is to connect with Hashem, is equally obligatory on men, on women. This idea that men are obligated to learn Torah and women are not obligated to learn Torah is a mistake. It's simply a mistake. There are certain elements of Torah that women are technically exempt from, but there are enormous aspects to learning Torah which women are completely obligated in. Hopefully at the end of the year, Shavuot time, I usually give a shir on Tikkun Leil Shavuot, about this issue. But this mitzvah, girls, of learning Torah, what are you here to do the whole year in seminary? Just like some technical training course so that you'll know how to do mitzvahs better when you leave? That's part of it. But a big part of it is this connecting with God through connecting with Torah. One second. Think about it. you are not connecting with God through, you know, dancing in the forest, although dancing in the forest is also very good for that's what they do in Yom Kippur. You can connect to God through nature, you can study leaves and trees, you can study amoeba, you can study human physiology, neurology. All of these things are ways to connect with God through seeing the awesomeness of nature. You have chosen, because you're here for a year studying Torah, to connect with God through Torah. Like, you're in seminary. Like, who goes to seminary unless they're nuns or something like that? Like, you are obviously religious fanatics of the highest order to take a whole year out of your life and dedicate it to studying biblical texts. That's what you're doing. You're doing that because that is the way the Rambam is teaching us that we can. You didn't realize you were doing that for a year? You thought you were just getting credits for Stern. Yeah, I understand. Right? The answer is no. You're doing something much more fundamental than that. And the way we do this mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem is through the mitzvah of learning Torah. That is the reason, guys, why Simchat Torah was chosen for Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, this day when we're meant to develop this sense of coming home. Coming home. Being the eighth, the idea of the leap off into the rest of the first day of the rest of your life. The Maharal talks a lot about 7 and 8. I brought it on the sources at the end, but no time for it now. This idea of the intimacy, of the simcha, of the going home, of the returning, of this intensity, we do it through Torah. Because at the end of the day, you can't dance with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you could, you would. But you can at least dance with the Sefer Torah. And I'm not getting into the whole discussion, well, should we have women's Sefer Torah dancing and all that kind of stuff. If you want to know my opinion on that, you can ask me another time. But that whatever you're feeling on Simchas Torah, the idea is there has to be this sense of connection with Torah. You know what it's like when you drop a book on the floor like a dictionary, and by mistake you kiss it when you pick it up? How idiotic do you feel? Especially if you're like in a public library, something like that. You drop like a book on the floor, you pick it up like this. And everyone's kind of looking at you thinking, did that girl just kiss a book? Like, what's wrong with her? When I was in university, there was a guy eating a chocolate bar in a tutorial. I was with a professor. There was a guy eating a chocolate bar. And he picked up this chocolate bar. Professor's not Jewish, obviously. It was a non-Jewish university. And he made a bracha on the chocolate bar. The professor stopped and said to him, did you just talk to your chocolate bar? Like, what did you say to it? Like, does it ever talk back to you? Like, it was bizarre. Like, bizarre behavior. You know, I said, I'm sorry, I'm about to do this. No, he said I was making a blessing and yada yada. Well, he was mad. Guys, I did a law degree at Oxford University. People were into their law degree. I never ever saw anybody taking a statute book off the shelves, tax legislation, and going, you know, like this, and dancing around the room with it. I never saw anybody do that. I never saw people kissing books. Why do we do that? Why do we dance with the Sefer Torah? Why do we kiss our Sforim? The answer is because by dancing with the Sefer Torah and kissing the Sforim, we want to try and get close to this idea of dancing with God. We can't kiss God. If we could, we would. Because we have to love Him. You kiss people that you love. Isn't that why people kiss each other? They want to express love for each other. That's why they should kiss each other. Okay? Whether it's parents and children, whether it's husbands and wives, kissing is a moment of expression of love. How can you kiss God? Kivayochel. It's almost like, you know, heretical to say such a thing. But on the other hand, you have a mitzvah to love God. What are you going to do? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of everything. That's really what Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres is all about. It's this idea of the last opportunity. Let's bring them all together. V'hayita ach sameach. This intense simcha. This intense love. This mitzvah of dancing with Hashem. Of coming home. Finally returning home, perhaps not just physically, but also spiritually, this homecoming. I want to show you this last source, and then I want to let you go. There's another mitzvah of simcha in the Torah, which is the mitzvah that a husband has to make his wife happy for the entire first year of their marriage. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Look in source number 20, v'simach es ishtoi. No, after that, hopefully they've already got used to making each other happy so much it'll go on for that. Now, what does that mean, the mitzvah to make her happy? Now, of course, the most intense part of that, of course, is that the Sheva Brachas week. The purpose of Sheva Brachas, I've heard people say things like, the purpose of Sheva Brachas is to keep the husband and wife busy so that they won't touch each other or something. Have you ever heard such nonsense? This seems to be doing the rounds, that the purpose of Sheva Brachas is to distract the Chotan and Kala so that they won't kind of get overpowered by each other. What nonsense. Yeah. The purpose of Sheva Bracha is to make the Chosan and Kala happy. It's a mitzvah doraisa of a samachta of Simchas Chosan v'Kala. Actually, Simchas Chosan v'Kala, Kala v'Chosan, actually. But the whole first year is a mitzvah of Simcha. How do you do this Simcha? So the Orach HaShulchan number 21 says, the Simcha is done just like the Simcha with Hashem. Look at the bold in the end of number 21. It says, the mitzvah is, La'anda, to give her oneg, to give the woman pleasure, Ulamala Shritsoina, and to fulfill her wishes, B'chol HaShayachal, in whatever way he possibly can. The Inyan Simcha Zu, this Simcha is very similar, Ki Inyan Shekazav, as it says, the Samachta B'chol HaTzuv, this mitzvah in the Tilchacha, of Simcha in mitzvah, it's the same kind of idea. When we came to the Beis HaMikdash, and I'll leave you with this really fascinating source, and I'll leave you to think about this. When we came to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, what did they used to show us in the temple time? Look at number 24, and we'll finish with this source. Amar Rav Katina, B'shah Shehayu Yisrael Oilim L'Regel, when they used to go up to Ali L'Regel, Megalalim Lahem Es HaParoiches, they used to bring them into the Beis HaMikdash and pull back the curtain of the Parochis so they could see straight into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Umari Lahem is a Kruvim, and they show them the Kruvim, or the Kruvim, yeah? Shehayu Ma'irin Zebazeh. They were arousing each other. They were hugging each other. They were kissing each other. The Kruvim, the two Kruvim. Va'omrim Lahem, and they would say to the Jewish people, Ru'u, look, Chibatchem Lifnei HaMokam. Look at how beloved you are, okay, to the God. Kechibat zachar v'nakeva. One of the kruvim was male, and one of the kruvim was female. Think about that imagery, and it brings you a proof text there that the kruvim were like a husband and wife embracing each other in intimacy. That's the image of God's love for the Jewish people, like Shir HaShirim. The whole of Shir HaShirim is an image of God and the Jewish people in this attempt to connect. In this embrace of a love affair. This is very powerful ideas. You don't need to go to other cultures or other literature forms to see the most intense love poetry in the most special and, you know, not in the slightest inappropriate way, the most appropriate way. And here we have this, and Sukkot is really the climax of that idea. And therefore, hopefully, I would encourage you guys, and with this I'll finish, on Sukkot, to find some way of connecting through Simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. Through Torah, through whatever it is. I don't know if you get that Simcha by just watching the men dance around with a Sefer Torah. If you do, that's good. But I suspect you probably don't. Whatever. So it's not good enough to just watch the men dancing around. You have to somehow organize your own, I don't know what, but something to give you a sense of Simcha as well. If you want to have practical advice, you can talk to me, you can talk to your friends, you can do something. But Simcha's Torah has to feel to you like this day of connection, of homecoming, of the beginning of a new year, the beginning of a new process, the final opportunity that to connect with God before you go off into the winter. And don't forget, the winter is a long, hard winter. People often didn't know whether they will be alive even by the next Pesach. There's an old Yiddish custom to wish each other a gesunte winter, the end of Simchas Torah, a healthy winter. Because, you know, the long dark days are ahead. At least you can go with a bang, you can go with this intense feeling of Simchas Torah, and hopefully we'll be able to capture some of that Be'ezrat Hashem this year. Okay, I wish you a very good Yom Tov.